Word of God as it is summarized and confessed by the Church on Lord's Day 23 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 23, but there we ask and answer, but what does it help you now that you believe all this? In Christ I am righteous before God and heir to a life everlasting. How are you righteous before God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Although my conscience accuses me that I have grievously sinned against all God's commandments and have never kept any of them, and am still inclined to all evil, yet God, without any merit of my own, out of mere grace, imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. He grants these to me as I have never had nor committed any sin, and as if I myself had accomplished all the obedience which Christ has rendered for me, if only I accept this gift with a believing heart. Why do you say that you are righteous only by faith? Not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, for only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God. I can receive this righteousness and make it my own by faith only. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, how rich we are that the Lord has given us one day of the week to spend together, to be spent every Lord's Day together. As His people in church, instead of doing our own thing, going our own way. Now, beloved, do we realize it of how rich we are? How rich we are with that, with our church going, with those worship services. And so we ask ourselves, should ask ourselves, what is our attitude in these worship services? For how do we sit here? What do we really do here? Do we truly realize how significant, extremely significant, how vital these church services are? And how truly rich we are with them? Now, where else are we told in 101 ways that we are righteous in Christ before God? That we have a complete salvation? Now, no wonder that we with such a message can say with Article 28, outside the church, there's no salvation. So, in this Lord's Day worship service, I proclaim to you the word of God, as it is summarized by the church under our theme, you are righteous before God in Christ through faith. And this righteousness is realized through Christ alone, through the word alone, and through faith alone. My beloved, what does it help you now? This is the question, that you believe all this. That's the first question of Lord's Day 23. Now, again, what does it help? What does it profit you now? What good will it do to believe all this, all that's promised to us in the Gospel, which the Articles of Faith, the Apostolic Creed, teaches in a summary? This is explained, as you know, from Lord's Day 8 through 22. And of which Lord's Day 7 says that it is necessary for us Christians to believe. Now, again, what does it help you now? What does it profit you now that you believe all this? Well, that in Christ I am righteous before God and an heir to eternal life. We, sinners, haters, enemies of God, godless persons by nature, we are righteous, declared righteous in Christ before God. Yes, we are sinners. That's what became of us when sin entered the world of men, when that fall into sin took place in paradise. Then Adam, as the head of the whole human race, the head also in that covenant that God established by him, by this deliberate, he, Adam, with his deliberate disobedience, deprived himself and all his descendants of that necessary holiness and righteousness. And he then drew the whole human race along with him into condemnation. And ever since, that's what we are. Sinners, haters, enemies of God, godless person by nature. By nature inclined to hate God and our neighbor. By nature incapable of doing any good and inclined to all evil. By nature totally depraved, totally selfish. But now the glorious thing is, then an answer to that first question of Lord's Day 23. In Christ, we are righteous before God and heir to eternal life. The Lord, the holy and righteous God, declares us righteous before Him. That is to say, as judge, He let me off scot-free. He pronounces us free from guilt and punishment. He gives us the right to eternal life. There's a life that never ends. Indeed, for a certainty, he declares us heirs to eternal life. Now, we still remember Lord's Day 22, which spoke about eternal life, about everlasting, the life everlasting. That means everything. That means everlasting joy. That means everlasting communion with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That means to taste God's goodness and to enjoy God's love and to experience God's care. That means in the end, no tears, no death, no mourning, no difficulties, and that means a complete salvation, such as eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. Blessedness above all measure, a joy which bends all grief, something like a wedding feast, perfect bliss, and unimaginable happiness, and all in order to praise and glorify God, our Maker, forever and ever. For that will be then our joy, our perfect everlasting joy, that we will continuously glorify God without being hampered by sin or infirmity. And so, we know then that we are righteous before God. So what does it help you now that you believe all this? Because through faith, we are righteous in Christ before God and heirs to eternal life. That is what God declares of us who are godless by nature. He declares us righteous. He acquits us, lets off scot-free. That instead of death, which we deserve, he gives life. Everlasting life. Life without end. Instead of eternal sorrow, eternal joy. God declares us righteous. The God himself has said, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both like an abomination to the Lord. It is he who declares us, godless by nature, free. Acquitted of guilt. Now, beloved, that's the prophet. That's the glorious benefit of all that we find summarized in this apostolic confession. That we may believe, are called to believe, that we, godless by nature, are righteous before God and heirs to eternal life. But how can that be? How is it possible that he, according to Proverbs, condemns the acquittal of the wicked, acquits a wicked person, such as we are by nature? Yes, thanks to Jesus Christ, beloved, it is possible. It was he who made this possible. And only because this justice, this righteousness, this acquittal came to pass only through Christ. Christ alone. Only in Christ we sinners are declared righteous before God and heirs to eternal life. Cannot be repeated often enough. For there is no one and nothing else that declares us righteous before a holy and righteous God. Nothing. Nothing of us. Nothing in us. Not our faith and not our piety, Not our prayer, not our zeal, not our tears, not our sorrow, yeah, not even our best works. Is it not true that we are still inclined to all evil? Don't we daily experience that fact? How often and how easily do we not fall into sin? That we forget about God, forget about our neighbor. And we, who have come to faith, is that true, beloved? Don't we have to acknowledge that? That we are selfish individuals from the word go? Yeah, how does sin not plague us every time again? How difficult is the struggle against sin, and how often don't we lose the battle? It's true, isn't it? Indeed, we are still inclined to all evil. Sin always cleaves to us. Always and always and always. Even our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. So what a comfort it is then. The Lord Jesus Christ said once, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What a comfort. God justifies the ungodly in Christ. We are free. For Christ bore the curse which was on us. Christ died for us, obtained grace for us, so that we are free from sin and death. That the justice of God, beloved, had its way, and its truth was manifested in Christ. In Christ, who took our place, who as our substitute, has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, to use the well-known words for Isaiah 53, who was pierced, wounded for our transgressions, who was bruised because of our iniquities, and upon him was the punishment that brought us peace. And by his wounds we are healed, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's how we in Christ are righteous before God and heirs to eternal life. Only through Christ. Let us understand it well. For God, without any merit of our own, out of mere grace, imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. And he grants these to us as if he had never had committed, nor had any sin. As if we ourselves had accomplished all the obedience which Christ has rendered for us. That means, beloved, that God looks at us as if we are the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As if we ourselves had entered death. As if ourselves had hung on that cross. That means that we are so closely reckoned to and so closely reckoned with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have died with him and have been raised with him. That we have entered death with him and that we therefore now also live with him. Live forever. Our sin, our debt, our punishment was laid on him. And that's why his satisfaction, his righteousness and holiness is now our very own. What he has done, we have done. What he has suffered, we have suffered. And that's why we will also receive what he has received. Everlasting life, salvation and glorification, honor and power, a crown of righteousness. Again, beloved, what does it help you now that you believe all this? Well, now we know for sure. We better be sure that we, by nature, are righteous in Christ, our surety. Yeah, that we, ungodly by nature, are righteous in Christ, our surety, our mediator, righteous before God, and an heir to eternal life. In Christ, only through Christ, righteous before God, and an heir to eternal life. My beloved, isn't that what you desire? Not what you desire the most? Well then, continue to put your hope in God. And above all, cleave to his Son, your only Savior, who came in our flesh, who took our place, who was our substitute, and who suffered and died on our behalf. And believe that he did it for you and for me. And therefore seek him, and seek him alone. Now seek all things through Christ alone. Well, that is in the first place. Now the question is, how do I know that I'm righteous in Christ before God and an heir to eternal life? Well, don't I know that only from Holy Scripture? Don't I know that only through the Word alone? For only the Word of God, the Bible, speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And only it speaks of His work, of a substitutionary work, of His mediatorial work. Now, if that Word is not preached, beloved, if the Gospel is not proclaimed, then we still would not know the Lord Jesus Christ and not a thing about His work. Then we still would not know that we in Christ are righteous before God and heirs to eternal life. But in the Word, in the Gospel, that's exactly what it is revealed to us. In the Word, in the Gospel, it's passed on to us what we have in Christ. That in Him we do have the forgiveness of all our sins. That in Him we have that life that never ends. That we are righteous before God and heirs to eternal life. Yes, that's also clear from that first question of Lord's Day 23. But what does it help you now? That you believe all this. Now all this, it refers, as you know, to the 12 articles of faith. That confessional summary of what is promised to us in the Gospel. That in Christ we are righteous before God as it is revealed to us in His Word, in His infallible Word, in the Gospel. Thus, beloved, by means of the preaching, proclamation of the Word of God, by means of the audible and also visible Word, by means of the proclamation of the Holy Gospel and the administration of the Holy Sacrament. In the preaching, the Lord comes to us and justifies us. He acquits us. God's judgment seat is, as it were, within these walls. We should realize that well, and we should always keep it in mind. In the church, that's where we hear officially proclaimed to us the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have the forgiveness of sins, and through whom we have a life that never ends. In Him we have the acquittal of our guilt and punishment, and the right to the life everlasting. Now, beloved, that is what is revealed to us Lord's Day after Lord's Day in the living preaching of the Word. That our acquittal is only through Christ. This acquittal is given to us in the preaching. For the Spirit gives us what we have in Christ. And the Spirit does it by means of the preaching of the Word in His holy Catholic Church of Christ. And that's why we think so much of those weekly services, church services, twice on a Sunday even. And that's why we take them so seriously and appreciate them so much. Yeah, it's impossible for us to sit here in church as if what's happening here is of little interest to us, let alone that we would consider the Sunday church service superfluous, unnecessary, needlessly. And that we also needlessly would stay away from church services. Well, beloved, you all realize that such an attitude would be an impossible situation. For we want to show that the preaching of the Word, that the acquittal by the Lord, is very dear to our heart. Then we do everything possible to hear that preaching of the Word. And every time again, to learn more about our acquittal before the judgment seat of the living God. Now, how would it not grieve the Lord Jesus if He would not do everything for that? As if the acquittal was of little consequence. Because for that acquittal, God gave His one Son into death. The death on a cross even. On every Lord's Day and every church service, in every sermon, the Lord proclaims that we are blameless in Christ and in Christ alone. That we have our acquittal from judgment thanks to Him and Him alone. That because of Him, no law can condemn us, for He took away the curse which lay on us at the cross of Golgotha. But then we better diligently attend the Church of God, just as we confess it together in Lord's Day 38. Otherwise, the wrath of God is going to rest on us again. That's how important that matter of the preaching really is. We ought to know that and never forget that. For the sake of the Lord, for our own sake, for every Sunday anew, it is officially proclaimed to us that we are righteous before God and heirs to the life everlasting. In order that we would believe, that for Christ's sake all our sins are forgiven us. And therefore the question is, how could such a promise be fulfilled if it is neglected or not listened to? And that brings us then to our third point. The promise of forgiveness in Christ. That word of acquittal that in him that it has to be believed. Faith alone. For the righteousness of God for us is realized, yes, indeed, only through Christ. Or as we also may say it, only through the Word. The Word that is being proclaimed here from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. But we may also say it differently. Namely, that this righteousness of God is realized, is obtained only through faith, believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ. Certainly, the word is the word of acquittal. All your sins are forgiven you. You're in the clear. But it is a word of promise. And that promise is that your sins are forgiven only for the sake of Christ. In Christ you are righteous before God. In him you are heirs to eternal life. That word of promise indeed precedes faith. But it also prescribes faith, calls for faith. That word demands faith, otherwise there will be no fulfillment of that promise. Remember the form for the baptism? As in all covenants contain two parts, a promise and an obligation. It is our obligation to love God with heart, soul and mind and with all our strength, to forsake the world, to put off our old nature and to lead a God-fearing life. Now the Lord gives the promise as if it were right into our hands. We are taught to understand from the moment that we live, after we are baptized into the name of the triune God, that we learn about what it is all about, who the Lord Jesus is, and then also to understand that we sinners are our sins forgiven, that we are acquitted of guilt and punishment. But then it must also be received. Now, beloved, in Christ, truly righteous before God, we truly have the acquittal of all our guilt and punishment. There is no doubt about it. If only we accept this gift with a believing heart. Otherwise, it will not. If we don't do that, then we do not have it. Now, to be sure, that faith is not something of myself. Faith is not a merit of mine, so that I could be acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith. Now, our confession is very careful, so that we do not draw the wrong conclusions and end up to be Arminian. Oh no, faith is a gift of God, a gift of grace. But we also must believe it if you want to see the fulfillment of that word of promise, that acquittal of Christ, in Christ. And we have to accept it by true faith. We can receive this righteousness and make it our own in no other way than by faith alone. It is the only means that is given to us as children of God. So only through faith do we receive Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness. We can receive it then as our righteousness before God. Faith is the way along which, the means through which, and the instrument with which we are able to embrace Christ, our righteousness. Christ, our only Savior. Our righteousness is of God, but it is to be obtained, realized by faith. Sola fide. Through faith alone. Through faith in the Word alone. Through faith in Christ alone. Received time and again, and every Sunday anew, by the proclamation of His Word. By embracing every time again, in each and every church service, the Christ proclaims. For it is always everything in Christ. So that every time again we are declared righteous and assured of our acquittal before a holy and righteous God. Ever and again, that word of promise regarding our acquittal comes to us so that we also time and again embrace that promise with a believing heart. In order that we in faith would stand firmly rooted in that promise and thus would persevere. Persevere we must, beloved. Only when we persevere in the faith, we will obtain everlasting life. For you know how it is. The righteous shall live by faith. And that's why it would be terrible if we would neglect to meet together in our church services. That's why it would be terrible if we do not listen to those sermons. if you would do something different than listening to the word, then without a doubt, you will soon lack in faith. For how can one believe, be strengthened in faith without listening? How can we obtain an acquittal, be declared righteous, if we do not hear that word of promise time and again? Beloved, we do want to listen, don't we? We do want to hear that word which contains a sure promise of our acquittal, that we are dismissed with respect to our sin, to our guilt. And we do want to hear more about it, don't we? Now and until our dying day. For the God of peace truly desires to justify you, to acquit you, not only in promise, but also in reality, in its fulfillment. Didn't he show that clearly by sending his Son to us here on earth to do what we were unable to do? And therefore, let us not neglect this great gift that comes our way every Lord's Day anew, nor neglect any of his other gifts. Believe that the Lord has forgiven all your iniquity and has redeemed your life from destruction. Only through Christ, the only way to be declared righteous before God, and only through the Word, the only means through which we meet Christ, only through faith, the only means through which we can make Christ's work our very own. Beloved, see here again, your justification, only through Christ, only through the Word, and only through faith. Amen. So let us sing in response, hymn 28, stanza 5. Hymn 28, stanza 5.